Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger, and this is the program for you as a family caregiver. I'm bringing 4 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And you may be joining this program for the first time, and you may say, what? A show for caregivers? Who'd have thunk such a thing? Well, I thunk it. And I remember starting this program, it was actually 15 years ago this year when a friend told me, he said, you need to start doing a show for caregivers. And I said, sure, I got nothing else to do. And he said, no, you've got a wealth of experience that a lot of people have no concept about, and they're thrust into this, and they would want to hear from somebody who's navigated this. And I started thinking about that. I said, well, okay, what would I say to fellow caregivers? And then I started thinking, well, what would I say to myself? And so basically this program is one big long sermon to myself, and I let everybody else listen because I'm preaching to me. You know, I've noticed this about pastors a lot of times. And don't you tell anybody what I'm about to tell you, okay? Now, I mean it. Y'all don't say nothing. It's just you and me here, okay? But do you ever get the feeling there are some pastors and some people in Christian ministry and so forth, when they're speaking, they're trying to convince you of something and sometimes even trying to convince themselves? And you can kind of feel it. Once you start seeing it and hearing it, you kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what... Yeah, he's saying all the right things, but does he really own this? And I look for those pastors who are reminding themselves of this, because we all have gospel amnesia, and I have caregiver amnesia, and I got to remind myself of stuff. And that's what this program is. I am reminding myself of these things all the time, and I want to remind you, if you've heard them before, but maybe they get buried under a lot of the clutter of our lives as caregivers, but I want to remind you of these things. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm not trying to convince myself of anything. I'm reminding myself. And that it always goes back to that moment in Ziklag in the book of 1 Samuel when David is being chased around the kingdom by Saul and his own men get, they were out fighting about it. They come back to their encampment, and the Amalekites had taken everybody and everything. And his own men were going to stone him. And it was a pretty horrific moment. And he said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you can almost just see his men around him looking at him doing this. And they're dropping the stones. And then they all knelt down and they all wept and cried out to God. And then they got up and went and fought the battle and got everything back. And, you know, it was an amazing victory. But it started with him encouraging himself in the Lord. He reminded himself. Jeremiah, in Lamentations 3, he is just overwhelmed with grief and anguish. They called him the weeping prophet. And he said, I remember the wormwood and the gall. I mean, those are pretty strong words. And he's just bitter in him. He said, but this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Great is thy faithfulness. And he reminded himself, this I recall to mind. That's what this program is me recalling to mind the things that have been revealed, understood, taught, all these things through scripture to say, oh, yeah. And so I want to offer that in the context of fluent caregiver, speaking in a way that every one of my fellow caregivers can understand as we all look at someone we love who is dealing with a chronic impairment of some kind, whether it's Alzheimer's, whether it's addiction, whether it's autism, it doesn't matter. Whatever the impairment, we're watching it. We're caring for somebody in it. We're elbows deep into it. Some of us have been doing it for a life. Some of us just started last week. Either way, we all are going to find ourselves in situations where we have to remind ourselves of where the trail is. And the same thing with our walk with Christ. We are all suffering from gospel amnesia. We got to hear them over and over and over again, sing them over and over again. Wonderful words of life. Philip Bliss wrote that. Wonderful hymn. We got to sing them over and over again. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory. You know, all of a sudden that stuff starts making a whole lot more sense because we're reminding ourselves. We're renewing our mind. We're training our mind. Think about how many times in scripture you see the phrase, fear not, don't be afraid. Or in Southern lingo is y'all simmer down. But how many times you see that? We have to be reminded as a species constantly to not be afraid. God knows this. We are battling against this, and so this program is designed to go into those places where we need to be reminded of these things. And if you've never heard the gospel, and if you've never heard any of these things that I'm talking about, but you're a caregiver, you're still in the right place, because I'm not only going to remind my fellow caregivers and myself, but I'm also going to teach as best as I can of what I've learned through this journey of not just being a caregiver, but of following Christ. And that's the point of this program, is to better point to the Savior and recognize that our joy can be full in this thing. Now, I love laughter. Y'all know I love laughter. Y'all know I love comedians, and I probably don't do enough laughter on this show. I love stand-up comedy. If I could do it all over again, I probably would go into stand-up comedy. I mean, I think that would be just marvelous to do. But, laughter, we miss out on that a lot because our hearts are burdened down with a lot of, but Robert Frost said, if we couldn't laugh, we'd all go insane. Some of us are admittedly already traveling down that particular path, but if we couldn't laugh, we'd lose it. Norman Cousins wrote, I made the joyous discovery that 10 minutes of genuine belly laughter had an anesthetic effect. Think about that. Laughter. You require no prescription for laughter. It doesn't require any copay. It just requires a willingness to laugh. Is that okay? Is it okay to laugh given what we deal with? Well, sure. I mean, I've made Gracie laugh so hard that I thought maybe need to get her some oxygen here, but she needs to do that. I mean, her life is dire. She has difficult things. And I will say things sometimes that are so outrageous that she can't even help herself. I mean, in the hospital, I mean, when things were really pretty rough. I remember one time this is during COVID, and she had this really big back surgery. I mean, it was a 9-hour surgery. And the surgeon came in, and this is a teaching hospital, so you have an attending surgeon who's got an entourage with him of students and PAs and everything else. And so you got all these residents, and they're all crowding into the room. And Gracie is an unusual patient. I mean, she's had a massive history. So, they don't get a lot of patients like her. So they're all there to look at her and see. And we're all wearing masks because it's during COVID. And she's laying there in the bed and she's had this massive surgery. And he's given his report. He's a big neurosurgeon there. And he's given his report, and then he said, are there any questions? And I said, well, I have one, doc. And they all looked at me, and they're all the residents get their tablets out, and they're all excited. What kind of question is he going to ask this very, very prominent surgeon? And I said, is Tourette syndrome a byproduct of this surgery? And Gracie started, she looked over at me, she's got her mask on. She's like, I do not have Tourette syndrome. And the residents all kind of looked around, is this okay to laugh? The surgeon just bowed his head and just started laughing. And, it was a moment. We all needed to have that moment. It was a very serious situation, but it's okay to laugh. Do you find that? Or do you feel permission to laugh when you need to? And why do we laugh? Why do we laugh? There's a season of laughter, Ecclesiastes, but why? Well, something funny happens. And Charlie Chaplin said, it's okay to laugh at pain, but it's not okay for my laughter to cause pain. And I agree with that. I'm not there to cause pain in anybody with my laughter. And I've seen comedians that are like that, that they want to use their sense of humor as a weapon. I want to use it as a way just to give people a chance to breathe and to catch their breath and just to, like I've done with Gracie, nothing thrills me more than to get her laughing so hard that she's just over there just gasping. It's so good for her cardiovascular system, and her face crinkles up when she's laughing, and it is the most hilarious thing and cutest thing to watch. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. I got a story that's going to tell you that's going to make you laugh. I promise. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International and a very important update to our shared campaign to bless Bibleist believers all around the world, including senior saints in China.
The area where she was at, she had never seen a printed Bible study or even a Bible until she was in retirement and received her very first Bible as a result of the generosity of donors. What an incredible gift to her, to that village.
Oh, the joy that comes to a believer when they finally receive their very own Bible, and that's true for that 90-year-old in China. Listen, I remember my very first Bible. I'm sure you can remember yours. Would you give that privilege to others right now? AFR and Bible League want to bless 16,000 Bibleist believers. We've been working on this goal over many months. 11,000 Bibles sent, 5,000 to go by June 30th. So at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, $500 would send 100. Will you call 800-YES-WORD? 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD. Or give at sendbiblesnow.org. Send Bibles Now.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing "In Christ Alone, I Place My Trust and Find My Glory in the Power of the Cross." And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to be with you. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. And while you're out at that site, there's several things you can do. One of them is you sign up for our e-letter that we, I only send out like maybe one or two a month of these things. I'm not flooding people's email boxes because I quite frankly don't have the time for it. And number two, you'll see a link to my Substack where I have a ton of written audio, video stuff that you can check out. And I think you would very much find it helpful and meaningful. Caregiver.substack.com. If you want to go right to it, or if you download the app, just it's Peter Rosenberger. And I just found out that my Substack is growing on their list of influential Substack or whatever they call it, is their influential list. But what you may ask, what is Substack? Substack is a modern newsletter platform. Readers can subscribe directly to a writer's work, whether it's audio, print, or video, and receive it in their inbox. And you don't have to worry about the algorithms that you get with social media. Like if you like something on Facebook or X, for example, then you'll get flooded with everything like that. But that's not what this is. You could subscribe to it directly through the app or online, and it'll deliver right to your phone, tablet, whatever. And it's things that I write, things of audio or video that I've done with the show, all kinds of different things that I have out there. And I hope you'll take advantage of it. Again, I'm trying to amass a library for caregivers so that they don't have to forage like I did. And they don't have to go out there and try to, you know, figure out how to deal with this anguish that's in their heart. Somebody else has done this. Somebody else has talked about this. Somebody else has gone through this, and they live to write about it. People didn't know what to say to me for a lifetime. Most people still don't. But you know what? I know what to say to me, and I know what to say to fellow caregivers. And that's what I do on this program. That's what I do through my podcast, which you can also see out at my website and all those things. So anyway, that's just a place to go if you need some extra help with it today. And if you want to engage and learn more about what I do, why we do it, and how it can benefit you today, not 6 months from now, not six steps towards being a better caregiver. No, I'm talking about right today. I have stuff that is for you right now. There's a caregiver 911 out at the page. Go out there right now if you need to. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. All right, that's my pitch on that. We're talking about laughter today, and there's some great quotes out there about laughter that Peter Ustinov, I think, actually had a particularly good one when he said that comedy is simply a funny way of being serious. And Bob Newhart, I don't know how many of you all like Bob Newhart. I love Bob Newhart. I thought he was just hilarious. Laughter gives us distance. It allows us to step back from an event, deal with it, and then move on. How many of us need that as caregivers? His last public appearances as an actor were on the TV sitcom The Big Bang Theory, and he played this particular recurring character. And the young director at one point wanted him to improve his cadence and the way he spoke a little faster for timing. And Bob Newhart looked at him and he said, "This timing that I speak in paid for two homes," you know, kind of thing. And the guy had no clue to really what made Bob Newhart Bob Newhart, but he was just incredibly funny guy. But I liked what he said there. It gives us distance. It allows us to step back, and we need that as caregivers. And I told you I would tell you a funny story. So I am going to tell you a funny story. I went to the cancer center last week. I'm dealing with this with me, and it's in Bozeman. And first off, they asked me to verify my date of birth, and I gave them Gracie's birthday. I mean, I've just given her birthday out so many times. And I actually did that at the pharmacist as well. It just comes out of me so much easier. I could tell you her social security number, her birthday, all those things. And then she looked down at the chart in her hands and she looked back at me kind of puzzled. And before she could say anything, I caught myself, "Oh, wait a minute, that's Gracie's birthday." And so I gave her my right birthday. So that's something, I don't know if you've gotten to that point yet as a caregiver, but I'm there. But, you know, after 40 years of being a family caregiver through all kinds of stuff here, you're looking at how many appointments, hospital admissions, medications, insurance forms, and enough, medical paperwork to clear a small forest, you know. But this time I was the patient. And so I'm there at the cancer center, and I'm getting imaging and treatment planning in preparation for radiation therapy, which starts next week for prostate cancer. By the way, thanks to proper screening, we caught this thing very, very, very early. So I have options, and this is treatable. We're going to get this done, okay? It's something I got to go through, but we're still going to get it done. And that's saying something for us as caregivers, because how many of us put off our own medical treatment? How many of us delay this and say, "Well, I will get around to it"? No. Let's do it now. I did. And if I hadn't done it, all the work I've done on Gracie's behalf could have been for naught, because we would have gotten into a really bad situation. Okay. So that's my soapbox for just a moment, but I want you to take that seriously. And, you know, the prognosis is excellent, but it still feels a bit strange. I've spent, you know, most of my adult life in the hospital because of someone else. And this time they called my name, and I looked around the waiting room, and I realized I was like the youngest guy there. And that doesn't happen to me very often anymore. For years, it was. Gracie and I were always the young people in the situation, because we started doing this, you know, when we were in our 20s, early 20s. I was 22 when I went through my first surgery with Gracie. It was 40 years ago in May. And later, one of the staff members told me that most of their patients are in their 70s and beyond. And sometimes they see guys like me in the 60s, and then every so often there's somebody in the 50s. But for this visit, I was the new kid, and I took a chair off to the side, and I didn't want to, you know, intrude on this fraternity of men who seemed to know the ropes of the place. They reminded me of the old men who gathered at this grocery store. A guy named Nick ran this grocery store. It was right up the street from our home, right across the street from the church where my dad pastored for many years in rural South Carolina. And he had a grocery store and gas, and he'd sit up there on the countertop asleep a lot of times. We'd go in there and put our money down on the counter and get a Coke and soda, whatever. We call it, everything was Coke. If you're from the South, you call everything a Coke. Even if it's orange drink, you call it a Coke. But my best friend and I would go in there and get it. And sometimes Nick never woke up. But then a lot of times he's got a bunch of old guys in there, and they're sitting around having a court, and they're talking about life and solving problems and going over politics and crops and weather and church business. But they had this cadence. They're just old men talking. Men of a certain age, and I don't know if you know this or not, but men of a certain age possess a remarkable conversational gift. Now, I have learned this because I've been around a lot of old men in my life. Dad was adept at going into these circumstances in this community where he served as a pastor, and he met with a lot of old men, and he just knew how to talk to them, even though he was far younger than them. And so I've been around this my whole life, and these old men can talk about, you know, trout streams and end with a urologist, and nobody ever notices where the turn occurred. You know, it's just a natural flow of things. And this conversation, true to form, drifted towards, you know, prostate cancer treatment. And, you know, it's like you're sitting on a boat drifting down the river fishing, and then the conversation just naturally goes to this, you know, and all the assorted indignities that accompany aging. I don't know if y'all figured that out yet. Some of you have. But one fellow described an examination during which the sheet covering him slipped off, and he's, you know, stark naked. And he said before he, and this is an old man, very old man. He said before he could react, the nurse told him very matter-of-factly, "Don't worry, if I see something I've never seen before, I'll kill it." Well, that's the sort of thing you kind of expect to hear at a cancer clinic in Montana. And all of them laughed. But remember, I'm the new kid, so I'm listening to this. And, you know, I kind of raised an eyebrow and said to myself, how comforting. But I still laughed. I mean, it's you can't help but laugh at these old men at talking about this. And so soon enough, they called me back. Now, the technicians, they have to put you in this form that they put around your legs because they want you to be completely still. They put gold little markers in me a couple weeks ago. They went in there and did this and put these in me so that they can then guide all the machinery to know exactly how to do the radiation. Pretty high-tech stuff. So they're doing a CT first on me, and they have to position me in this thing, and it forms around my leg, so it keeps me completely still, and then that will be the form they use next week when they do the radiation, and I get on the table, and I'm in the same position, and they'll make sure that everything is exactly where it's supposed to be. And so they're explaining the process to me here as I go through this journey. So again, this is really a role reversal, because I think about how many times Gracie has suffered so many indignities. And I there's no way I could count the number of CT scans she's had and MRIs and so forth. I remember when MRIs first came out with her, it was new technology for us, you know, and that's saying something. And I thought, you know, how has she done this? I mean, there's, you know, you get no modesty, you got people poking and prodding at you and everything else. And I don't know how she's done this. She's literally done this since she was 18 years old. And she woke up, well, actually 17. She woke up and she was still 17 years old, and this had happened to her. And by the way, there's a great article on my Substack I put about what happened when she woke up, and that you'll love this article. And her father was the first voice that she heard, and it's out there on my Substack, caregiver.substack.com, and it's called Daddy's Here. And I would encourage you to read it. It was really a moving moment. But I thought, gosh, how has she done this? And kept her sanity and a sense of humor. And I think that humor does help. But I think about how much pain she's in and how she has to be, you know, kind of manhandled on these tables and everything else. And none of this is comfortable. You know, I mean, and these rooms are not exactly built towards being a recreational environment, if you will. And they got this machine they're getting ready to put me in. And it reminded me of an old Star Trek episode. And if memory serves me correctly, it was the one where they kept Spock alive after somebody took his brain out kind of thing. I mean, it was just, it's surreal. And I've seen all these things before, but from this perspective, I have not. And so I'm there. I'm a little bit, you know, it's awkward. And again, all these people, they do this all day long. Well, it's my first time. It's not their first time, but it's my first time. And so I'm kind of getting used to this. And wait a minute, we're out of time. I gotta take a break. Hold on, we gotta take a break, because when I come back, I'm gonna tell you this story. It's gonna make you laugh. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
Life can be hard, but we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I'm Christy Graham, host of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, and I want to encourage you in your walk with God. Listen each week as we go behind the scenes of our work around the world. You'll be challenged and encouraged in your own faith as you hear how God is actively changing lives. Join us for On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
From the big screen to the TV screen to our phone screen, you can't hide the fact that media plays a huge role in today's society, and it shows no signs of slowing down. Movies, documentaries, and animated features are everywhere, and we can't forget audio, music, podcasts. Where does it end? American Family Studios was started to take society's obsession with media and turn it into a ministry opportunity. What better way to advance the Christian worldview than to use movies, TV shows, and audio to get the message across? Quality is of the utmost importance, so our post-production facility has the equipment and space required to fill a wide range of needs, including a studio that can accommodate a live audience. The state-of-the-art facility has been used to create God Speaks, Summer Snow, I Am Potential, and Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent, and that's just scratching the surface. Stay up to date on what's coming next and get to know us better at AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to be with you. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com if you want some more information about what we do, why we do it, how we do it, and all the things in between. We're talking about laughter. Do we laugh enough as caregivers? We deal with hard things. Do we laugh? Maybe I should do more laughter on this program. I try to. I try to weave it in, but I want to be respectful. I don't have a studio audience here, so it's kind of hard to do stand-up when you're looking at a wall. But, you know, producer Pat tells me if I'm funny or not, and then oftentimes not. But anyway, we're still going to do the best we can with what we have. And I was going over some of the quotes that I've heard of people talking about laughter. Ralph Waldo Emerson, "The earth laughs in flowers." Have you ever just driven past a field of flowers and looked at it and feel your heart get a little lighter? That is just gorgeous. We see that a lot out here in the springtime because we have such long winters in Montana. And I do miss the South as far as the spring. I don't miss the pollen. You know, our cars will be covered out here with snow, but in the South, it was with pollen. And I miss the azaleas and the dogwoods and so forth like that. But you can't see those things and not feel your heart get lighter. So I think Emerson had it right. And humor is mankind's greatest blessing. Mark Twain said that. And so do we laugh enough? Life is worth living as long as there's laugh in it. Another quote from Lucy Montgomery. And of course, Ecclesiastes, the most famous biblical quote is, there is a time for everything, you know, time for laughter. And do we laugh enough? And so as I left you, I was at the cancer center dealing with what I'm about to deal with here, and radiation is going to be starting here next week, and they're going to set their phasers on stun, or as I told Gracie, in my case, stunning, and she didn't think that was really that funny at all. I thought it was funny. But again, producer Pat will tell you that some of the things that I think are funny, she doesn't necessarily think are funny either. So I get that a lot with people, but sometimes I just make myself laugh. You could almost see a couple of psychiatrists stroking their chin saying, "That's very interesting," kind of thing, but that's where I am. So I'm there at the cancer center, and I've got all these old men around me. I'm the new kid on the block, and they're taking me back to this room. They're going to map out on the CT, then I'm going to do an MRI after that. And then they fuse those two images together to make a precise composite so that they feed that into the radiation machine so that they target with great specificity and precision exactly where the cancer is and they're going to deal with it. Okay. So I'm there. And so they put me in this machine and the instructions were complete and we understand. And they eased me into position and they left the room. All right. A few minutes later, the technician came back into the room and she looked kind of sheepish. "We have a bit of a challenge," she said. Well, I'm laying there and I'm thinking, well, this can't be good. And do tell, I replied to her. She said, well, there's a gas bubble. And evidently the expression on my face communicated that I was not following the conversation, which I'm pretty good at following the conversation, but I was not expecting this in this environment. And as she looked at my face, and evidently she knew that she needed to go further, and she delicately clarified, the gas bubble is in you. Oh, I said. And I considered several responses of what I should say about this, including one with my outstretched index finger that would have made my four brothers proud, but not necessarily helped the staff. And fortunately, decades of maturity prevailed. And I said, well, what do you recommend? And so she said, well, maybe take a walk and see if anything happens. So there I was, strolling through the halls of a cancer center, trying to solve a problem that five boys growing up under one roof would have regarded as entirely manageable without professional consultation. I don't know how my parents did it. You know, there are times our household rivaled the campfire scene in Blazing Saddles. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. And but here's an additional challenge, okay? They had instructed me to drink a substantial amount of water beforehand to achieve the proper imaging. Okay, that was they were very clear on this. They wanted to the number of ounces they wanted me to drink. Well, if I solved the new problem that they had brought to my attention too enthusiastically, it threatened to create a whole different problem. And I got to tell you, there are reasons why men over 50 approach certain situations with a bit of caution. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but others of you really do. So here I'm just strolling around. And it wasn't enough just to walk around the cancer center. I had to actually go outside and try to walk even more. This was, it's hard to explain the disconnect in my brain that I was actually doing this. And I'm wearing their pants that they give me for this thing. I actually was able to put on my own shirt, but I had on their pants and I slipped on some shoes and I've these kind of like surgical scrub pants, and I'm out walking around outside trying to force an event so that I could go back in there and get screened for this thing and make sure that I'm all set up to be treated for prostate cancer. Well, finally, everything did work itself out, if you'll pardon the expression. The imaging was complete and the planning was finished. And in a few days, I'm going to be returning for the treatment. Okay. And so by next week, I started on Tuesday, and then I'll have five total treatments, and they're going to do a little extra for me. The radiation is going to be a little bit higher than normal because we caught it early, because I'm not symptomatic, because of all the other things in my life going on that I'm in pretty good health otherwise. That comes from living out in Montana, riding horses and working on a ranch, I guess, and never sitting still as a caregiver. And I told you my blood pressure was good. It was 120 over 85. That's not bad considering I've been a caregiver for 40 years and I got cancer. So I thought, well, I'll take that any day. So 120 over 85, what's your blood pressure? So I was pretty pleased with that. But So they're going to zap me a little bit stronger. And they said, the doc did say, you're going to experience a little bit of extra fatigue, significant fatigue, possibly. And I looked at it, I said, well, I've been significantly fatigued since 1986. Gracie didn't appreciate that very much, but there we are. So I'm getting all this worked out, and I'm going to start this next week. And as I was leaving, I noticed the bell that was hanging in the hallway. And I've seen bells like that before. That's what the patients ring when the treatment ends. And so, Lord willing, I'm going to ring that bell myself. Ring that bell, ring that bell. Within a month. And I drove home and I thought about those older men in the waiting room and the way they talked. And none of them appeared to be eager to be there. But neither did they seem to be intimidated by it. They knew where to park, and they knew where the coffee was, and they knew which jokes were worth telling, and even the one about killing it. They knew the territory. You know, watching them, I was reminded again that eventually, if you stay on any road long enough, you stop asking for directions and start giving them. I used to ask for directions as a caregiver. But I don't ask for directions when I give them. I point people. Okay. Oh, yeah, I know where that is. I know where that is. And my hope is that you'll do the same, that you'll be able to start doing that. And one day, maybe sooner than I'd like to admit, I'll be the old guy telling the stories to the new kid who walks through the door. You know, you never know. You know, for years, and you've heard me on this program, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, I've encouraged my fellow caregivers to pay attention to their own health, rather than waiting for the crisis to force an issue, okay? Think about this. I think about how tenuous my life is with Gracie. Those of you who listen to this program for a while know what I'm dealing with here. How long can I afford to put off stuff? When you're dealing with this for 40 years, I mean, think about that. You really can't. And all of this would have been for naught had I not done what was necessary. And I can't guarantee that I'm not going to have any kind of mishaps in life. I mean, I'm out working on a ranch. I horseback ride all the time and that kind of stuff. May not horseback ride for the next couple of weeks, just saying. But until the last possible moment, I'm going to. But it would all be for naught if I delayed my own stewardship of my own body. So I'm imploring you to do the same. And, you know, this experience has only reinforced that conviction with me. And, you know, prostate cancer is often called a silent disease. Mine was. I had no idea. And yeah, there are a lot of indignities that I've had to endure. I cannot believe this woman came in and said, there's a gas bubble. You know, but, I mean, what was I supposed to do with that information? I really almost stuck my finger out, but I didn't do it. And my mother listens to this program, and I know she'd be proud. She would, you know, Peter, that is not acceptable. Don't be common. And so I didn't do that. And, you know, but prostate cancer is often called the silent disease. Mine was. But we caught it. And I will tell you this, that fortunately, silent doesn't always have to mean deadly. I'm sorry. I had to put that in there. I'm sorry. I had to put it in there. You would be disappointed in me if I didn't say that. That is too easy. That is like a softball coming right over the plate. I mean, I had to do it. I had to do it. I'm sorry. But I have four brothers, okay? And every one of them would cheer me on as I said it. My mother would, and my sister probably wouldn't as much. But anyway. That's the whole point of all this, is that we got to take a moment and laugh a little bit. You know, I've been a caregiver for a very, very long time. I've been through some dire, dire things with Gracie and myself. I'm dealing with cancer. But you know what? I'm going to laugh about it. Not laughing at this maniacally and stupidly, but recognizing that I don't have to fret over this. It's going to be all right because I belong to him. Laughter comes when things happen that are kind of funny, like a nurse tells you got a gas bubble. Okay, that's funny. But joy is ever present because Jesus is on the throne. And that is hope for this caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, "I know what I'm going to do." And I was kind of startled. I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus." And I said, "Well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first?" But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? Standingwithhope.com/giving. Standingwithhope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. Standingwithhope.com/giving.
This is the Lost in Translation Ministry Minute. Here now is your host, Dr. Baruch Korman.
Someone asked me recently, what's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? In actuality, there is not. But we frequently see in the scripture, especially in the new covenant, that term, the kingdom of heaven, because we're on earth and we're separated from the fullness of that kingdom. So it's a kingdom which is in heaven, but that same kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it is going to be, if you're a believer, your eternity. What you're going to experience, where you're going to be forever and ever.
Learn more about the teaching ministry of Dr. Baruch Korman at loveisrael.org. You'll find videos on almost any biblical topic on his YouTube page and on the My Bible Study app. That's loveisrael.org.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to be with you. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. Out there, you'll see tons and tons of things for you as a caregiver to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. Not the least of which is a link to the podcast, which is free, Hope for the Caregiver. And you can listen to almost 1,000 episodes of this. I have built a library, and my printed library is out at my Substack, caregiver.substack.com. All of this is available from my website, hopeforthecaregiver.com. And then you'll see at the top there a donate button. If you want to get involved in what we're doing to help me do this more for other people, you can do a tax-deductible gift to Standing with Hope, which is the presenting sponsor of everything that I do. It's the ministry that Gracie and I founded. We have two outreaches for family caregivers, which you're listening to right now, and also for Gracie's fellow amputees. For more than 20 years, we've been working in the West African country of Ghana, teaching and equipping them to build and maintain prosthetic limbs for their own people. It's for the wounded and those who care for them. And that's all at standingwithhope.com, which you can access to right from my website, hopeforthecaregiver.com. So it's very easy. It's all there, and you can go take a look. All right, we've been talking about laughter. I'm talking about joy. Do we have it? And there's an old chorus. I'm going to go over here to the caregiver keyboard. All right, I'm reaching way back into the groove yard for this one. Some of you who were born at a certain time will know this, but it's from Nehemiah, and it was written by Aileen, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, Aileen Vale. And this was a staple back in the 70s, okay? It goes, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." You remember that one? "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." How many remember that one? But what a great little chorus. It just kind of gets in your brain. You could say, "The joy." I used to hear my mother humming this around the house. And you got to remember, my mother raised six children, five boys and one girl. And it was not easy growing up in our house. But "the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my
my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
That's an oldie but a goodie that we as caregivers can sing no matter what's going on around us. And as you do this, think about this. You could sing this around the house like my mom did. You could sing this while you're doing laundry, while you're in the middle of the night. Yes, I know it's hard. It is a decision, okay? It is a decision to do this, but it's a really good decision because you're reminding yourself of a greater truth. Now, that said, that's a little bit dated, okay? I enjoy playing it, and I enjoy throwing a couple of cool chords in there. It's a little bit dated. So how about if I give you that scripture updated a little bit, okay? And Twyla Paris wrote a song many, many, many years ago. And when she did it kind of with a Celtic flair to it. It had that kind of sound to it. And I always liked the song. And we had performed it, Gracie had performed it many times. And I thought, this would make a really good duet. And I also wanted to Earth, Wind, and Fire it a little bit. You know, I grew up in a different kind of time, and I loved R&B music and things like that. So I got together with the keyboard player, and we did this arrangement of it. And then I thought, this duet really needs a great voice with it, with Gracie's. I mean, just somebody's got some real character to the voice. And I reached out to Russ Taff. I said, hey, you want to sing this song with Gracie? Would you do this? And he said, yeah. He said, 10 bucks is 10 bucks. No. But so he and Gracie got together and they sang this song, and this is The Joy of the Lord. So I thought I'd piggyback on our hymn of the week, or that every caregiver ought to know, The Joy of the Lord, that little chorus, and give you something that's a little bit more updated that puts a little pep in your step. And so here's Gracie and Russ Taff singing Twyla Paris's The Joy of the Lord.
Joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, and I'm not afraid. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord.
His joy, his joy, his joy.
Not too shabby, huh? That's Gracie and Russ Taft singing The Joy of the Lord. It's from Nehemiah. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do we believe that as fellow caregivers? Caregiver to caregiver, do we believe this? You know, Nehemiah wasn't telling an exhausted people to cheer up, okay? He was telling them to draw strength from God's delight in his covenant faithfulness. Do we believe this? This is what I'm so passionate about telling my fellow caregivers, because I'm telling it to myself. I'm reminding myself of the things that Nehemiah was reminding the people. It was a pretty tough time for the folks there. And Nehemiah saying this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then you got Gracie singing this with Russ Taff. You know, both of them have had very difficult journeys. And Russ has got a book out that came out several years back, and it's called I Still Believe. And it's worth your time to read. And then Gracie, of course, you know her story. Well, how do you sing that kind of song unless it's in your DNA? And that's what we have as believers. As believers, our DNA has been changed. And so we're saying these things for the joy set before him. Christ endured the cross. That's in the book of Hebrews, where it says, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. The Greek word translated joy is chara. I think I'm saying that right. And it's the standard New Testament word for joy, gladness, delight, rejoicing. Okay? And this is what Christ was reminding himself of. For the joy that was set before him, he endured it. He was looking to that. And we can too. That same, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You see how all these things now start to come together, flows like just dominoes. And you start realizing, oh, as a caregiver, I can do this too. I can do this. I can even laugh sometimes in crazy situations. Not because I'm crazy, which sometimes I could make that argument, but because our hearts are lighter, because we don't carry the burden that this is all there is. We don't carry the burden that we've been left to our own devices. We don't carry the burden that somehow this is all up to us. We cry plenty of tears. You and I both do. We all have as caregivers. And that's not going to end. But do we laugh? There is a season for this. And our joy is full. So that's why I pulled out that little chorus from the 70s, you know, the joy of the Lord is. Yeah, I know people say, oh gosh, that's so dated. Well, maybe it is, but the text is not. And that's why I played the version with Gracie and Russ, because I wanted you to see what that text can do when you put it together with all that. And you can't listen to Gracie and Russ sing that without just like, oh yeah, yeah, that works. And plus, I put a Hammond B3 organ in there too. So that's even better. That just makes it all better. So that's our hymn that every caregiver ought to know. If you can't remember anything else, just the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do we believe that? And if you don't know that, and if that's not a part of your life, what are you waiting on? And if you don't know where to start, you can reach out to anybody at AFR, the Truth Network, or you can contact me through my website at hopeforthecaregiver.com. And I'll be glad to show you and point you to the Savior that has sustained me through all of this. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. We'll see you next week.